Football is all a matter of opinion.
There's a stats man involved in the transfer committee.
Sorry, if you go on stats and you want people to cover areas, you might as well sign Mo Farah.
Share yours, 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a very warm welcome to the Legends. Alan Irwin in the hot seat for Steve Hothersall. As always, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp are with us. We want plenty of calls from you, 0151 4720 967. There are, of course, plenty of discussion topics. We'll look back on the Capital One Cup victories for Everton and Liverpool that happened this week. We'll look forward to a big weekend of football with Liverpool at Chelsea tomorrow and Everton in action against Sunderland on Sunday. But we will, of course, start with some sad reflection, Graham, on yesterday's funeral for Howard Kendall. A tremendous turnout, it has to be said, and Everton Football Club seemed to do themselves proud.
Well, yeah, it was always going to be a big one. We knew that. Yeah, there would be thousands there outside, you know, those who couldn't get in, and the cathedral was packed. Yeah, but it was a very fitting tribute, great service. You know, Peter Reid spoke, Chairman Bill Kenry got up and spoke, Graham Stewart spoke, Joe Royal. So, really, really kind words. We went back to Goodison afterwards. And yeah, it was a good day. I mean, everybody's got their own stories of Howard. And it was good to meet up with ex players we haven't really seen. Paul Wilkinson, you know, Kim Down, Kevin Richardson. But no, it was a really good day. Sad day, but a really good day and a good way to send it off.
And plenty of representation from Liverpool as well, John, as you'd expect, really. Wouldn't you? There was plenty of ex-Liverpool players there.
Yeah, it's well thought of amongst Liverpool players as well. We all got on together. You know, the rivalry was on the pitch. You know, but off the pitch, you know, lads got on, you know, ever so well. And I was in Howard's company quite a few times. Very funny man. Great banter, I swear. Great banter. You never go away without laughing your head off. How brilliant he was. And he did. He got exactly what he deserved. And he'll always be iconic within the city, you know, where football's concerned. Absolutely.
I think he'd love some of those stories yesterday himself, wouldn't he?
The one Father Brian Crane told was absolutely brilliant. The fact that he said when he was signing Michael Madar, and he said that they were up at Belfield at the time, and they were in a meeting kind of thing, and they had to cut the meeting short. He said, I've got to go out and meet a new player, Michael Madar. So he was having a press conference later on, so he's seen him. So Father Brian went out to see what it was like. So I saw this big guy, long hair and everything else, coming in. Went into the press conference. First question, Howard, do you know that Michael Madar is an Orthodox Jew? Howard, what a silly question that is. What are you asking me that for? That? Move on. That's got to do with football. And he went, well, it means you're not allowed to play on the Saturday. And Howard went, I could just join the rest of them. We've got a few like that now. And he told it, and honestly, everybody in the concrete laughed. It was so funny. And it just little quips like that all the way, kind of thing. He was brilliant.
Yeah, some great stories and some great reflections as well. If you were listening to City Talk or Radio City yesterday, you'll have heard a number of the eulogies that were broadcast yesterday at the Anglican Cathedral. None other than our very own David Downey put together a wonderful little tribute. So if you do have an opportunity, log on to City Talk and follow the relevant links and you'll pick it up. But it was a wonderful tribute that Mr. Downey himself put together. So Howard would have been delighted to have seen Everton progress if he'd have been around in the Capital One Cup on Tuesday, Graham, but it's something that Everton have failed to do so over the course of the recent season. Yeah. In fact, only the second time in the last 28 years that they've progressed beyond the fourth round, which is an incredible statistic.
Yeah, Howard would have been delighted at the result at the end of it. You know, it was taking his penalties to get there, but the performance wasn't great. You know, it was flat again.
Yeah, it was.
I said to somebody, and listen, I know the fans have got to see something in the pitch to get behind them. But sometimes when it's not happening on the pitch, it's when you need your fans. And I thought Everton's fans, when it went to the penalty shootout, were brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Gladys Street End. A hostility shown towards Norwich, you know, when they were taking penalties. And that's what I wanted it to be like from the start. All credit to Norwich. I thought they were possibly the better team. You know, but Everton showed character again, coming from a goal behind.
Again, though, Graham, why are Everton starting to play football once they've fallen behind?
Well, I said it last week, you know, after the Arsenal game, we go 2-0 down, and then we all we've got to get back in the game here, and then we up the game, we up the tempo. We need to start. And just, again, looking at Liverpool a few years ago when they blitzed teams. Mm-hmm. They blitzed teams in the first 20 minutes, because they went after them. We seem to just sit and wait and expect things to happen. That ain't going to happen. You've got to make things happen for yourself in the Premier League. So what happens Sunday is, I'd imagine Sunderland coming down and just say, sit behind the ball, you know, frustrate them. We'll try and knock a long ball into the box and it'll cause problems, which they will do. So it's frustrating. It's not right at the moment. We need to improve. And improve drastically and by terms of moving the ball quicker.
You can make what you want of stats. I know you're missing mine this season, Graham, but Everton have conceded the first goal in 9 of 13 matches this season.
Yeah, well, it shows you character to get back from that, but you can't keep doing that because you're never going to get back all the time. You know. But this is the thing that maddens me is, why wait to things? Go and make things happen. You know, we seem to like go tentatively into the game and just pass for the sake of passing. Let's try and get our noses in front. And then when that happens, the confidence will grow in the players. But what will happen now is, when it's edgy, you know, there was an instance the other night when John Stones came forward with the ball and he looked up and there was nothing on and he kind of stood on it for like a minute, two minutes.
And you could hear...
And the punters were going mad and you could see, and he gave it away and then somebody had to go up in the crowd, you could see him turning around reacting. We need to move the ball quicker. We need to go, and I said about the Arsenal team last week, Aldo with Giroud, who are the best passing team in the country. They knock it long at times to Giroud and play off him. We need to move the ball a lot quicker than what we're doing.
And I suppose paradoxically, John, Liverpool go in front and you're always nervy that they're going to concede.
Yeah, I just wrote that down, to be fair. Everton's conceded in 9 games the first. I think we've done it the other way around. In you know, more or less 9 games, but thankfully in the week we kept hold of the lead. It wasn't too nervy to be fair.
On Wednesday night,
in the second half, it was fairly comfortable. But I have to say, you know, I'm a Simon Mignolet fan. You know, a lot of people says a lot of things about Sam, but I am. But Bogdan was brilliant when he was called upon. You know, you know, he made 3 or 4 really good saves. 3 in the first half. He came and collected the ball. His distribution was good. He swept up a couple of times really well. And that's fruitful for the manager, knowing that, you know, if something happens with Simon, we've got a really good goalkeeper there at hand. Mm-hmm. And then we introduced 3 young lads, you know, Brannigan, Tishier and Randall. Mm. All done well.
Yeah.
They all done themselves. No harm whatsoever. I don't know what that's going on here, by the way. But they were excellent, you know. Tishier showed what I've seen of him for the last year or two, you know. Great glimpses of skill. You know, technically, he's a very gifted lad. You know, there's all that attributes to his game he's got to get better at. But certainly, he's one that could come to the fore this season with the manager. Young Randall's great. He's a local lad. You know, he played fullback. One or two nervy moments first off with him. But all in all, he done himself proud. Brannigan played in the middle, done nothing wrong. So that was nice. Firmino, actually, a few fans were a little bit worried about Firmino, you know. What we've not seen from him, and it's been very spasmodic when he's played and he hasn't played. He got injured when he was starting to get into it. And sometimes it does take a bit of time to settle. But he showed exactly, you know, what you'd expect from a Brazilian international the other night. Some great bits of skill.
Don't you think, we talk about Everton and the goalkeeper, and we talk about the John just mentioned, you know, Bogdan. You can't see him ousting Mignolet. I think he's there as a number two. You know, when you're thinking, is he there to try and get in that first team? So I don't think that'll happen. And people were talking the same with Robles and Hibbert, you know, and the managers came out afterwards and said that Hibbert starts on Sunday kind of thing. And I think Bogdan's in the same situation as what Robles is. We'll come in for the odd game, do well, but I don't think he's ever going to
challenge. We'll talk more. I don't think it's a good thing that Martinez says Howard's starting, whatever, because complacency can creep in there. Howard's place is assured, whether he's having a nightmare or not, which is not a good thing for any player, never mind a goalkeeper. Anyway, we'll talk more of that, because Paul the Blue from McGull is on the line. Thanks for calling. The Legends, Paul, you're our first caller tonight. 01514720967, the number to call. What's on your mind, Paul?
The boys have actually stolen my thunder a bit. Sorry, evening, lads, you all right?
Hi, Paul.
What it is, and it's not... I want to make this point crystal clear. In work, we're cosmopolitan work. We've got fans from everywhere, and we have great bands and all that. And I defend Everton to the hilt all the time. And the only disappointing thing is the Tim Howard thing, and I will keep on going on about it. But when I hear Roberto saying about the experience he's got to tell and he's got to get his place back, I was really, really disappointed because... You know, if there'd been isolated incidents, and again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, You can accept that. And the fact that Robles, give the kid a chance. What's the worst case scenario? I mean, no disrespect. Tim's cost us points this year, and he's done the same the latter part of last season. So give the kid a chance. You know what I mean? He's more commanding. It was not. I said to my youngest son when we played Arsenal, I said, £1 million, Walcott's on the bench, and he puts Giroud, because Giroud will just try and bully him, because that's the way he does. And guess what? I'm petrified for Sunday. We should waltz that. I'm petrified because they've got aerial bombardments. Sam Allardyce, he'll be like that going, put it in the mixer.
Yeah, good
point. You know
what
I mean? And that's my fear factor. And Graham, I know you backed him, and I respect and appreciate what you say, but there's got to be a time, you know what I mean? Because I think it's sending out wrong messages by the mayor, Roberto, when he turns around, he says, you know, we've got to back him. He's basically admitting he's had a few stinkers, yet he's going to stick to his guns.
I think it's a good point there. You know, it's an interesting one, because, listen, if you come in and do well, you know, why not stay in? It's as simple as that. It's what you wait your chance for. I don't think Andy could have faulted him the other night. I thought he did well. Obviously gets the glory with the penalty saves. You know, but listen, it's not just in the goalkeeping position for me, because I think our team changes too much anyway. You know, and you're right in the goalkeeping, you may have a point with maybe Robles starting in front of Howard. But I think that we change our team too much. I think we change our middle four. Instead of saying, you four are playing for the next six games, I'm giving you six games, see how it goes. Then you get an understanding. But I think what we do is we change our team and we change our front four week after week, and we don't have any solidity in it. Like Gibson, I thought the other night, played really, really well, you know, but does he come back into the team? I don't think so. Mm. You know, so it's a difficult one. So whilst we talk about the same with Robbers, and everything you said is right, kind of thing, but that's the goal. Could you say to John before, I think he's got Tim Howard as his number one, and he doesn't see Rob is there, that's the only thing I can look into it. So,
Can I just say something on that, Graham?
Yeah.
I totally 100% agree with you, bud. The thing for me is, right, the swapping and changing, okay, injuries have forced our hand on a lot of things, but the mixing around and all that. But you know what really gets my goat? And you nailed it in the first 5 minutes, both of you, when you said it, and Alan as well, is the fact that if we're getting these lads who are getting their opportunities to come in, let's go at teams. Mm. Last season, or the season before last, I should say, we went at teams early doors. And that's where we got the respect, where they'd stand off a little bit.
Yeah.
No disrespect at the minute. I mean, the Man United thing, obviously, as I mentioned before, about the Howard scenario, I think that was an effect. But I thought, even in that game there, we got young midfielders. Let's get at them. Let's put pressure on there. Schneidling and the other fella, Schweinsteiger.
Mm.
And we never... You know, it's like we've got to do this thing. You can see we're stepping like 5 yards back in the first 15 minutes of play when we should be pressing a bit higher and forcing them to make mistakes both home and away. That's when I think we're a far better team.
Mm. Paul, very quickly, great points again. But I think we'll start tomorrow with the same formation, 4-2-3, or Sunday, sorry, 4-2-3-1. Now I'm thinking we're at home. If we change that, and maybe why do we have two holding midfield players at home? Why don't we just have one and push and maybe play two up top?
100% agree with
and
you, Sharpie.
4-1-3-2, and just say, well, listen, I'll tell you what, let's have a go. We're at home. Let's do something different. Let's surprise him, because he'll come on Sunday thinking, I know what that'll be. The two holding midfield players will be Gareth Barry and James
Press
McCarthy,
yeah.
Blah blah blah, and then we'll restrict his space in there. So why not play two up top?
Mm.
Why not play?
Delafeu, I love the lad. The lad is, you know what, he's like the old Enigma, isn't he, where you don't know what's going to happen next and all that. But I tell you what, the kid has got a quality ball in five every time. And we're talking top draw. Somebody mentioned on the telly a while ago, and I'm not going to put him in the same category, but He's very Beckham-esque. He doesn't have to take somebody on. He whips the ball early, flat across the six-yard box, which causes all sorts of problems. Let's get at them and do it.
Well, let's hope we can do that on Sunday, Paul. Thanks very much for your call. Cheers. Good up. Points made. Paul and McGull, the Blue, kicking us off on the Legends this evening here from the top of the Radio City Tower.
We're going to go
from McGull to Litherland and talk to a Red. It's Kevin who's on the line for Aldo. No doubt you're going to raise a point or two. Kevin, welcome to the Legends.
All right, good evening, chaps.
Just turn your radio down in the background, Kev, if that's all right.
Yeah, okay. I'm pulled up and driving. You're on the Bluetooth.
Oh, right. Aldo won't like that.
That's a good thing, that.
Yeah. No, just on the subject of the Capital One Cup or whatever. I don't understand why teams like us and Everton treat it like a fourth-rate competition, when in fact it offers the best chance for either of us to win a trophy. We're both in the quarterfinals. Yet the last round, we played a number of kids, you know what I mean? We're saving players. Saving players for what? Mm. You know what I mean? I'd rather win a trophy and get fourth place.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the clubs treat like a fourth-rate competition. And even the referees, to an extent, they referee different. They don't book when they should book. They don't send off when they should send off. They let things go.
Well, he did the other night, Kev, didn't he? The one we had the other night. He did the same you spot on there, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Kevin? Do you know what? There's a point that when I see what you're on about, but there's a point I need to find out here, and you just brought it to light with me. When to Shearer, I thought he scored, it was over the line. What's the rule in the Cups? Because in the Premier League, you're actually, you know whether it's a goal or not, it goes off.
No,
in
the Cups,
it's not in the Cups. No. Well, thanks for that.
It's not even in the Champions League.
Yeah, well, I wasn't too sure about that. That's sounding, yeah. Go on, Kev.
So, to be honest, John, before the game, I seen the referee with the ball testing the Hawkeye, whatever you want to call it. So, I don't know whether it is in the Capital One Cup.
I just think it can't be in the Capital One Cup, simply because
some grounds
don't have it.
Exactly.
With the Cup's concerned, you know, some people are along with you, and a lot of reasoning, you're right, you know, we want to see silverware, and I think what teams do, they in the early rounds, they try to just play by ear and look at it, and once it gets to the quarter final, you wait the next round. Liverpool and Everton will play the best team in the quarter final. Mm. They know. Once you get the semis, Wembley's there. It's for whatever reason, in the last 10 years, that's happened quite a lot. Mm. You know, all clubs seem to do it. Even the so-called lesser teams, they're saving the players to help maintain them or keep them in the Premiership rather than.
Well, that's a maddening thing, although some teams that are going to be involved in the relegation scrap change their team completely.
Yeah.
You're not telling me one game is going to make the difference.
No,
why not play the team on a Wednesday to give you confidence to go into the Saturday? Okay, some players might have a niggle kind of thing, fair enough, but I agree with Kev. I think play your strongest team.
Well, yeah.
Play your strongest team.
I think Kev's got a point in that it's a trophy that you should be targeting to win. Let's face it, Liverpool in Europe, because they get a bye in the second round. They've played two games and they're in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, no, he's right. We won it, okay, albeit on penalties against Cardiff. We found it very tough, but we enjoyed the day. Mm. It's a piece of silverware. It's right up there, you know, with your status. Yeah, so I agree. To be fair, I do agree. The draws, I could see his reasoning with Benteke, because if he was to play and then, you know, he would have got injured again, then we are what's that noise behind? You got a problem there? Is it Halloween? Someone look behind you there, Kevin, the car.
Trick or treat.
I've got my kid in the car seat behind me. He's disagreeing with
you. Let him off. Yeah, but you know, because if something was to happen with him, we were left with a Rigi who for me is not ready, you know, so I could understand the manager leaving Benteke, and we got away with it. You know, we did get away with it, and we won, you know, we won the game. That's what the Cup's about. Whether it's 5-0 or 1-0, you just want to get through and try and get to Wembley. And it's great now, you know, the two teams, okay, you know, we've got tricky ties in Middlesbrough and Southampton, but the double ties, you know, for us to get through now, the meeting the semis all brilliantly, wouldn't it be fantastic? We got one of those glorious days down at Wembley yet again, you know, fingers crossed. That's the great thing about the draw.
Okay, Kevin.
You're talking about Origi there, mate. I hope we stick with him. because like I've got a few fans who are sort of saying, "Oh, he's never going to do it, never going to do it." Rushy went through how many games before he scored, and Paisley cajoled him into nearly selling them on. Peter Crouch went 15, 16 games without scoring, and he come on. I know he's not the finished article, but he's only a kid. I'm sure he's a guard. He never really expected to lead the line this early in his Liverpool career. You know what I mean?
Don't forget, he's played in the World Cup, you know.
He's played well.
Belgium, he did well. Let's hope that he does. You know, he settles down and we start seeing, you know, we've seen things from him that we haven't seen up to now. He looks like he's a confidence player as well, but we need to see more, don't we, Kev, from him?
Yeah, I know we can do better, but you know, I hope we stay with him. And my final point is going back to the Capital One Cup, get rid of the extra time. If it's drawn after 90
straight to penalties, like the Johnston's
golden goal.
Yeah.
Golden goal.
Kev, brilliant. Got to move on, mate. Thanks very much for your call. Right. That's Kev the Red from Litherland with some valid points. I hadn't thought about the refereeing one too much, but I think he's got a fair point on that.
Did it, mate? It was. The referee, you know, there was a few really tough challenges went in from the Bournemouth team in the first 45 minutes, especially on the younger lads. They pinpointed them and he let them go.
Was that a Premier League referee?
He was one of the top ones. I forget his name, but he's the top one anyway. I'm not too sure.
One of them.
Yeah,
Mike Jones.
He's one of the better ones.
Okay, thanks very much indeed for our callers in part one of the Legends. We've got plenty to squeeze in part two and three. Time is flying by. Don't go anywhere. This is the Legends from the top of the Radio City Tower.
This is Radio City Talk.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And this is a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be, the top of the Radio City Tower, especially when Lizzie comes in with a coffee. She is not a waitress, I can assure you. Sharpie has felt the full effect of a cup of coffee all over his brand new
look on the bright
top.
Side. It went the blue half.
Well,
and
tell Lizzie's red.
And red half.
Yeah, exactly. Liverpool.
It's a good job you let the coffee go cold, Lizzie. Brilliant. Right, Sunderland are going for their third successive win at Goodison on Sunday, but it's not so long since Everton did this against them.
Here's Johnson in behind the back line of Sunderland and scoring for Everton to cap off a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Johnson returns from injury. Another long ball over the top of the Sunderland defence. Johnson's pace got him in behind. He waited for the ball to drop. He waited for Craig Gordon to commit himself. He flicked it over him. And Everton's supporters are in raptures. Here come the Blues again. Osman driving forward to the edge of the penalty. He's still going. Osman all the way. What a goal! Oh, this is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant from Everton. Osman from the halfway line. He ran and ran and ran. Evaded everybody. The goalkeeper came out. He chucked it home from inside the box. And Everton are in seventh heaven. Everton have simply battered Sunderland. Everton 7, Sunderland 1.
Wonder whether Ozzy could still run like that now.
and run.
Remember that one, 7-1 against Sunderland, but they've won the last two at Goodison. And you know what you're going to get from them on Sunday. You've already alluded to it, Graeme, with Mr. Allardyce in charge, and they kept their first clean sheet of the season against Newcastle last weekend.
I spoke to Paul Bracewell, who's now the assistant manager there. He was at Heather's funeral yesterday, and just don't be surprised. You know, nobody should be surprised at what you're going to get. You know, you're going to get a team that's going to be, by all accounts, are very fortunate to beat Newcastle last week. But you're going to get a team who he'll have worked all week with in terms of getting defensively sound and frustrate Everton. And all he'll do is he'll launch it in the box at every opportunity, whether it be corners, free kicks, whatever, general play. You'll get the goalkeeper coming out the halfway and just lumping it in the box, and they'll look to feed off that. And we should not be surprised. That's why I think them coming, let's get after them. Let's get after them early. Don't let them do that.
Let's just pick up on this point, though, Graham, because it was a good point that was made to me in the week. Everton have played most of the teams that finished in the top 10 last season, who tend to play a bit of football. Mm. Now, Everton have got to play the sides that are probably better at throwing the ball into the penalty area from set pieces, which is Everton's nemesis at the moment, isn't it?
I'm not bothered. Of course I'm bothered because we're conceding goals with balls going in the box, but what I want to see, and I think the punters come up to Goodison Sunday want to see, is seeing the team getting after people. No, seeing people going and making things happen. We don't see that. We don't see them coming out and starting at a really high tempo and pushing them back towards the goal. Everything's like slow. So if I'm Sam Allardyce, I'll be delighted. I'll be like, let them do that in front of me, not a problem. We get a free kick. Great, we're going to pile everything and we'll score. They will get the ball, I'll guarantee you now, they will get the ball into the box more than what we do. And that'll just be from general set plays.
Yeah, could be an interesting afternoon. Let's see what Dave the Blue thinks, who's in St Helens. You must have a view on what's coming up at the weekend. Dave, welcome to the Legends.
Hiya, lads.
Hi, Dave.
It's just Roberto Martinez in general. I wanted him gone last season. I thought the football was absolutely terrible. I thought Tuesday night was as bad as anything we saw last season. And to be honest, I just wanted, it's his decision making. He's got his undroppables in the team. He's got Tim Howard in goal, who doesn't matter how bad he is. And let's be honest, it's not just been a poor couple of games this season. He's been poor for a couple of years, probably masked by that one great display which he had for America. It wasn't even for Everton in the World Cup. And then in midfield, Gareth Barry, doesn't matter. He will play, even at 34, 35, he'll play 90 minutes week in, week out. Now, it's the same rigid tactics every week. I know you've picked up on this earlier. It's 4-2-3-1. I know exactly how we're going to play on Saturday. So if I know how we're going to play, and you know how we're going to play, Sam Allardyce knows how we're going to play. And then when we're getting beat, a great manager can differ his tactics. Roberto, he seems to freeze. I think, I don't know whether you remember the game last season when we were at Southampton and we were getting beat 3-0 and he froze. He didn't make a sub. He didn't know what to do. And there was a game last season, I forget who it was against, where we ended up with Darren Gibson at centre-half again. And then the other night, we were getting beat by Norwich, who don't even want to be in the competition pretty much. And he didn't seem to know what to do. The obvious subs were Leon Osman and Darren Gibson, who were short of match fitness, and the game looked like it could go to extra time.
Darren Gibson went centre-half.
Yeah, and they ended up playing 2 hours after not playing pretty much any football. Now, Leon Osman, he's been on the bench for most games this season. Roberto hasn't trusted him to put him on for 5 minutes in a game. Yet a game the other night in a cup where we all, as fans, we all want to win it, and Leon's playing 2 hours. Now, you could see the subs getting made, and you could see Leon looking at Darren Gibson. Leon was asking for an oxygen tank. And after the last sub was made, Darren Gibson looked that shocked. He got straight down on the floor and started stretching to stop himself getting cramped, because I think even he expected to be coming off.
I thought Gibson did well the other night.
No, he did. Do you know what? I'm not criticising Gibson's football ability. No. When Darren Gibson's fit, he's a decent... He gives decent attributes to the squad. Leon, he's probably... We all know he's well past his best, but if you want to give Leon minutes to keep his match fitness up, shouldn't you be playing him in games? Say when we're playing Man United the other week and we're getting beat 3-0 after an hour, take Gareth Barry off and rest his legs if you want to play him every week, and give Osman his 30 minutes then to get his little bit of match fitness.
David, I think you're a little bit harsh on Gareth Barry. I think Gareth Barry's been excellent this year.
No, I'm not saying that, but it doesn't matter. Even when Gareth Barry's been poor, he's guaranteed his place on the side. We all know his parent is always McCarthy, it's always Barry. It doesn't matter. And like, what's Kevin Morales done wrong to not get minutes? He signed a new deal in the summer. He got sent off against West Brom. Why did he get sent off against West Brom? Because he's not had a chance this season. He's playing everybody, Naismith, Delafoe, Lennon. Everybody is ahead of him in the pecking order. And then we stick him on at West Brom with 30 seconds left and we're 2-1 down. And you think, no wonder he's gone and kicked out someone. He's frustrated. I blame the manager for that. Now, we've got all that. Now, that's Roberto. Now, you talk about in Roberto's first season, the style of football we played. Now, did you notice in that first season, we probably still had a little bit of the David Moyes mentality in the side. Know the fitness and the getting in team spaces and charging teams now. Now you look at us now, we stand off teams. Everybody got 5 yards around the box. How many shots did Norwich get off the other night? Because they've got so much time around the box. We don't work hard enough anymore. We don't look fit enough. And we're an easy team to play against. Now look at Arsenal at the week of last weekend. Arsenal are considered one of the soft touches in this league. They absolutely bossed the game against us. We've got no one in the team, no one like a Peter Reid who's going to G the team up. There's no real leaders. And it's really, really sad to see.
Dave, you got 1,000 points off your chest there, mate.
He spoke well. It's some really good points as well. You know, obviously, again, it's the easiest thing in the world is to beat the manager. But he was saying there, yeah, I can understand where he's coming from. I've been to the games as well, and I thought we've done the same. I think we've lacked appetite and bite at times. You know, the changing of players, I just thought that, Ozzie looked shattered the other night. We thought he was coming off. But that's probably done the world of good. Gibson as well. He's played a full game there. He came back and played a little more of centre-back. Done him the world of good. I could see where he was going. They could easily have picked up another injury. But, you know, they're monitoring him and they said it will do them the world of good. Darren Gibson, interviewed after the game, says, I'm exhausted kind of thing, but I'm glad to get through. Hopefully have a couple of days rest and he'll be ready for the weekend. But, no, I agree with him in certain things. The substitutions I thought he made the other night, but all right.
Well, De La Feo and Barkley have basically changed every League Cup tie for Everton this season, haven't they?
Do you know what? The last couple of points I've got to make as well about Martinez, and this is something that absolutely bugged me. How many goals this season, on last season, have we conceded both from corners? Every time somebody gets a corner against us, you think they're going to score. Now, Leon Osman put in that autobiography he wrote about Al Roberto. They don't do any work in training on set pieces defending them because Martinez thinks that you're not likely to score off them. Well, I'm afraid we must concede a quarter of our goals from corners and set pieces. And then you've got that. And the other one as well, when the goalkeeper's got the ball and it's coached into our place, now the centre-half's got either side of the six-yard box to receive the ball. Now, that's great if you're a great footballing side. We're not. How many times have we conceded the ball and put ourselves under needless pressure and conceded goals because that's stupid tactic? Just get the ball up the field and get the ball to your quick wingers who you've got. You've got Lukaku. And we don't get the ball forward quick enough.
Dave, great points. We've got to move on. You've had more than your fair share of points made there, which is great. You know, we're thankful for it as well. Thanks very much, Dave, for your contribution.
When he says, I'll get the ball forward quick enough, I think that's been plain for everybody to see. We don't get it forward quick enough. We don't mix our game up. Again, in the last point he said, it drives me mad. We were speaking obviously dinosaurs yesterday at the funeral kind of thing, and we're talking about the game, and Adrian Heath was over, and the game has changed incredibly. I'm not sure if it's changed for the better.
It hasn't.
It's changed for the better. And
not
just
at all.
Some of the way you watch it and everything else, and I think, what was he talking about? The lads were laughing yesterday. They were talking about, I think Van Gaal's come out and said something about the red zone and the green zone now and the traffic lights. What is going on?
I had
on?
The pleasure of asking him that question.
He
hit me with the red zone twice on Wednesday night.
So what did he say is?
Well, it's monitoring their fitness levels, and in the red zone means that they're on the verge of, you know, exhaustion.
Yeah, it's all this
crazy,
scientific stuff. But it's funny, scientific stuff goes out the window. If in our day, if you're conceding off corners and sloppily, you'd be in the next day. You'd be in the next day. They'd have the reserves in there.
Yeah.
They'd have the big balls. They'd take some of the air out of the balls. They'd be pumping them in. You'd have to defend for an hour, wouldn't you, Sharpie? And it was horrible. Sometimes it was raining, cold. Yeah. You're just standing about heading these balls and trying to not let anyone score.
Even the forward.
But I tell you what,
I can do it.
I tell you, the next game, you were all. Yeah. You're all up for it, and the corners against you, they're not going to score. I'm not going to do that again.
I'm glad to see you've been revived there, John. I thought you'd fallen asleep when Dave was on the blue there.
They had some good points, but
I was revived when Lizzie spilt the coffee over me.
John, let's turn to the Reds, because it's a big game. It's 9th against 15th Liverpool at Chelsea. It's a massive game. Klopp's first big test, people are saying, but he hasn't won a Premier League game yet, but it's very early days. He's got a good record against Mourinho himself, 1-2 out the four. So
his first big test was Spurs, wasn't it, really, you know, at the end of the day. And then every game's a test in its own different way. You know, you're going to Stamford Bridge, you know, at a time when they seem to be struggling. They're waiting for a kickstart. The manager is getting... you know, what we've all waited for him to get for a long time from all quarters, you know, and he's not as brash as he used to be. It's a big game for the manager. I don't think if they lose it, they're going to sack him by any means. I think that it certainly put him right under the cost if Liverpool were to go there and get 3 points.
It's probably the best time Liverpool have to go down there.
Yeah.
You know, in the years gone by, it's probably the best time to go down there. But in saying that, it's still not going to be easy. It's still not going to be a test of Klopp his team get beat. You know, it's still nothing about Mourinho against Klopp. Because we've said time and time again on show, he's got a massive job at Liverpool. He's got a massive job to rebuild and get his own players in. At the moment, he's still dealing with players who he may not want and may not like, but he's having to play them. You know, you don't know.
If Benteke's fit, does he have to start, John?
Well, he's played. I listened to his press conferences there and He's starting. He's fit. He just left him out like at the week just to make sure he had him for this Chelsea game, which is great. You know, all of a sudden you've got a few options there. You know, Coutinho for me is a lucky lad that he's played all the games this season. You know, except for some of the cups, but because he just looks a pale shadow of what we know he can be. I know, you know, he hasn't had, you know, great runners up in front of him to make space for him and make runs for him. But that aside, he's been a shadow on him. I wouldn't be surprised if he left him on the bench tomorrow and play Firmino in there. I really wouldn't be surprised. Jordan Ibe done well the other night as well. You know, he's got his confidence back. So he's got some options there. You know, all of a sudden Benteke comes in and a couple of players sparked the other night, and it looks a little bit different when that happens. And rather than looking on the negative side, you can look, well, we can go there. We know the goalie's going to be. We know what the back four's going to be. You know, Sean and Lucas are going to be sitting. Benteke's up there now. I'm going to play in them three. I've got five players there to choose from.
He's going to play Milner, isn't he?
Well, Milner will be playing, yeah, probably with Firmino and Coutinho, but he's got Lallana and Ibe now all of a sudden. So it's a nice little
Sterling
problem to have.
Sterling, Sturridge, is he definitely out?
Yeah, he's out, yeah.
And how far away is Henderson, John? Do you know what?
Not an awful lot on that. It's very, very quiet, but I presume it will be in the next week or two. That you start to see some strides from Jordan, hopefully.
He's back in training. Yeah. Big Dave's been down to see Mr. Klopp today, had a word with him, and he's back in training. So that's
there's an international break in 2 weeks' time. Yeah. So you'd imagine, you know, get past the Palace game and
then first game after the break.
I think that, you know, probably be that one. Yeah,
yeah.
He's been missed, to be fair. He's been a bit of a, you know, we've missed him.
Any of the kids do enough to warrant a place in the squad on the bench? Maybe
possibly. Yeah, possibly. You know, you look at the fullback area, and you know it's a problem with us because you lost Gomez, Enrique's not up to scratch for whatever reason. He's been sitting on the couch for 2 years, I think. and you know, a pair of slippers and a pipe. I don't know what's going on with him, but certainly young Randall will probably be on the bench, you know, in case anything happens there. You know, midfield areas. I don't know. Tashira done himself no harm. But the only thing we'll say with Tashira is he's got Ibe and Lallana ahead of him in them positions. So I don't know. It's an interesting one, but I'm sure one of them, if not two, will be on the bench. Yeah.
Okay, and take the game to Chelsea, is it?
Well, you go there, you know, looking to be positive. But at the same time, you've got to make sure you don't give them any starts, because that's what they're waiting for, a start, aren't they? To kick them off, you know. And you know, if you can keep them quiet and keep Stamford Bridge quiet, which is quite easy to be quite fair, because even when they're winning, it's very quiet there.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be a problem. But keep the team quiet.
The fans will have their little flags.
Oh, they have the Plazzy flags. Yeah, they have the game, and it looks absolutely
wonderful for the team.
Ordinary.
Yeah. 12:45 kickoff tomorrow. Chelsea versus Liverpool. Everton in action on Sunday. Right, we're going to take a short break. The boys need it. That is in terms of their bets, because they were absolutely abysmal.
I won 2 weeks ago.
Week. Really? Yeah, but you went for three absolute bankers.
At least I'm going for it.
Yeah, we'll discuss exactly where they went wrong with Dale Tempest very shortly on The Legends.
This is Radio City Talk. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, welcome back to the Legends. Alan Irwin in for Steve Hothersall, Aldo and Sharpie up here as always with us. We've been looking ahead to the weekend's games, and Liverpool haven't won at Stamford Bridge since 2011 when they picked up a pair of victories in the space of 9 days against Chelsea. Remember this one?
Oh, Liverpool, that's a good ball. It's from Henderson's, found Bellamy right side, him across the Maxi.
Goal.
And for a second game running at Stamford Bridge, Maxi grabs the first goal, and you never know, it might be the winning goal. What a cut and thrust from Liverpool down the right side. Henderson with the first pass, and then the one across the penalty area by Bellamy, and Maxi left to roll it in. Well, he just can't stop scoring, can he? Chelsea nil, Liverpool one, and it's that man, Maxi.
And it wasn't Aldo alongside Steve Hothersall, because we didn't hear the big roar, John, did we? It was Nigel Spackman, I think, that day. The cut and thrust of Liverpool at Chelsea. You want a bit of that tomorrow. Maxi Rodriguez, remember him?
Yeah, he's done all right. That's that particular game, didn't he? And
yeah.
I think he'd done it again.
He did.
Chelsea, didn't
he? A pair of victories in the space of 9 days, yeah.
No, that was nice.
There's been some crazy goal scorers for Liverpool at Chelsea over the years. Players who haven't gone on. Bruno Giroud.
1-0 at that game, yeah.
Right, let's move on, because the lads have been, perusing their bets during the break. And we're going to welcome Dale Tempest, who I think has probably by now got a bit of sympathy for these lads, Dale. You must have, mustn't you, mate?
Winners is easy.
Ah.
It's very, very tough.
It is. You know, sorry, we missed you there, Dale. We missed the start of you there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really tough for the lads are doing. And I say, maybe we should open it up to the sort of listeners and see what they say. But the lads can then pick the best one, you know, so you could do it from there. So that's another option. But now I've got full sympathy for your lads.
I'm going to come good this week, both of us.
Exactly. We only need to get a couple in and they're big prizes.
Yes.
Listen, we don't believe you. We know you're sitting down there laughing at us.
3-0-0s Aldo got last week. What would he have got for that, eh, Dale? 3-0-0s Incredible.
I know, exactly. Maybe we should have gone for the 0-0s, but every time you do a 0-0, there's a goal in the first 5 minutes, you guarantee it. It's just the way it goes, isn't it?
Right, who's going to kick us off this week?
Aldo can go first.
All right, then. We've had to change, because we're all doing the same teams here. I'm going to go for Manchester City, surprise, surprise.
1-4, that's a good one.
And Derby County.
Oh, yeah, Derby back in form, 4-9. Yeah, I like the look
and
of these
two. Wigan.
Oh, Wigan.
Ooh, some friends.
Yeah, they're doing all right, Wigan, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got some
improved from early on in the season. Home to Swindon. Swindon having a tough time. And another one at 4-9. Yeah, I think you've got three odds on bankers there. Well, the thing is, we've got the 50 quid.
Yeah.
50 quid stake gets included in the winnings. So why not? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a winner. We all like a winner, no matter what the price.
Listen, I love the way Dale just says, yeah, they look good. They look good. They've said that for me since day one. I haven't won a carrot. Dale, I'm going to go with Manchester City, Tottenham, and in the Championship, Burnley to beat Huddersfield.
Yeah, I must admit, Tottenham and Burnley are two of my bankers for the weekend. Tottenham, you know, I think they've not lost since the opening day at Manchester United. And I think the fact that they've not had a game, they played on the Sunday, I think it was, so they had probably 8 days rest to the Monday.
Yeah.
You know, the way they play, really intense. I think that'll help them. City, you have to think, will have too much for Norwich there. And Burnley, I mean, they were quite impressive. I know Blackburn had a few chances last week in the live game, but it's Huddersfield they're playing. I watched Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago at home to MK Dons. I went to that one. And they won, but they weren't impressive. And they scored three.
You're upsetting Sharpie here.
No. I'm with Sharpie here. They've scored three away goals all season, Huddersfield.
Yeah, but he knows what's coming.
Two of those were at Charlton. So, no, I think that's one of the bankers of the weekend, the Burnley one.
All right, I'll hold you to that, Neil.
I'm hoping I'm paying out.
I'm holding you to that one.
Great stuff, Dale. Thanks very much for your contribution, as always. Dale Tempest from Skybet. Other betting companies are, of course, available. For what it's worth, I'm going to go Burnley, Middlesbrough and Bury to beat Blackpool. OK, will Liverpool beat Chelsea, John?
I've just... The last 10 weeks, I've been doing 1-1 every game, and I've nearly
just
got
like
right
Liverpool.
In.
Yeah,
I think it's a draw. Maybe 1-1. I'm going for a 1-1 again. Yeah, I got it right last week. Benteke first goal 1-1. Yeah. Pity he didn't do that with Dale, isn't he?
Yeah. Sharpie. Can Everton beat
a rejuvenated
Sunderland?
They can beat them, but it's the way they go about it. Mm. You know, they've got to get it right from the start. The longer it goes at 0-0, the more the crowd will be, edgy, to say the least, and that will transmit to the players. So if we approach it right and get after them early, I think we can win comfortably. Mm. But I also expect them to make it really, really difficult for us. Mm.
Okay, thanks very much for your contribution, as always. Aldo's off to get changed into a suit because he's off to Prenton Park for the big John Aldridge tribute night. Sharpie's off to get changed for other reasons, Lizzie. Yes. Yeah. He's smelling of a little bit of coffee, to say the least. I'm back tomorrow with Terrace Talk, which comes your way between 3 and 5 with Saint and Snod. The Legends, of course, will be back in the hot seat on Monday, reviewing all the weekend's action. Hopefully, a win for the Blues and a win for the Reds. Thanks very much for your company tonight.
This is Radio City Talk.